Okay, let's start with where we're up to. It's on the page where it says on the top, Salach Vav Omer Aleph. Okay, we're on Salach Vav Omer Beis. We're going to start where it says, Anias Omein Choyvo Oymashos. It's a very fascinating idea. Does a person have an obligation to answer Omein? If you are in a room and someone makes a bracha, are you obligated to say Omein? Or if you want, it's a reshus. There's no obligation, you get credit for saying Amen, but it's your prerogative to answer Amen or not. So basically what it's going to show is it depends on the bracha. If it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, then you have an obligation to answer Amen. If it's a birchas ha-nenin, a person is eating a fruit, a vegetable, food, then there's no obligation to answer Amen because you are not the one who is deriving benefits. And that's a very interesting idea, which I think most people are not aware of. Let's see what it says. Kosan Rabbeinu Yoyinam Sefer Hayira. Again, if I'm saying I'm bound, Anias Amen, Chem Roshos. Ya'ane Amen, I'll call Barucho U'Barucho, Ki Godol Ho'ine Amen Yoyser Min HaMavarech. We learned in the Gemara here, the end of Masechta Nazir says the person who makes a bracha gets more reward. The person who answers Amen gets more reward than the one who makes the bracha. That was one opinion in the Gemara. We don't accept the Lahalacha. In the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says the one who makes the bracha gets more reward. But the Gemara doesn't make mention of such a concept. They open up in the gates of Gan Eden and Shev Kavan for bracha. The Beis Yosef, Kosa, he writes, Shanias Omen Achar Brichas Hanenin Eino Choyvah. The Beis Yosef writes clearly that to answer Omen after Brocha is not an obligation. Eino Choyvah. Period. Hagoyinam Shlomo Kluga B'Shut Ha'elf Lucho Shlomo. Ha'ir Al Kach. V'Haloyamu. How could it possibly be there's not an obligation? But does it not say in Chazal, Godol Hoyinu Omen Yosef Ben Amavarech? V'Yil Amavarech Chayav Lavarech. If the one that makes the Brocha has an obligation to do so, let the person who's making a Brocha. You have to make a Brocha. It's not a choice. If you're eating a fruit, you don't have a choice. It's Gezel. If you don't make a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and since the Chazal also say that Godol Ha'oin Omen, the one that answers Omen is even greater than the one who makes the bracha, so certainly, so Kol Shekein Sha'oin Omen Mechuyiv L'Anris Omen. Shem Loi Kein Eichu Godol Men Amavari. How could he be better than the one who makes the bracha? V'Haloi HaBracha Eina Rishosa Mechuyivu. V'Godol HaMetzuv V'Yoseh Mimi Eina Metzuv V'Yoseh. He's combining two principles together. We have a principle, Godol HaMetzuv V'Oysa Mimi She'ena Metzuv V'Oysa. If you're going to suggest that the one who makes the bracha, everyone agrees, must make the bracha. You're not allowed to be the right benefit unless you make a bracha. If you're going to suggest, like what Rabbeinu Yoina says, that answering Amen is a reshus. So, when we match up the one who makes the bracha to the one who answers Amen, the one who makes the bracha is a choiva, and the one that answers Amen is a reshus. That is so which one is more choshev? Well, we have a principle, Godol HaMetzuv V'Yoseh Mimi She'ena Metzuv V'Yoseh. So how then can, but the Gemara says the one who answers Amen is better than the one who makes the bracha. So these two principles contradict one another. So in order for it to be better, it has to be there on equal levels. It must be that both the one that makes the bracha, the one that answers, both are a choiva. And now we can suggest, the Gemara is telling us, when you answer Amen, you're better than the one when you affirm. Like we learned yesterday, that when you answer Amen, you're the second witness. If you have a document, and there's only one witness, then the document is invalid. But when you have a second witness, then the document becomes valid. So the one that answers Amen is the one that validates the document. Then we can understand it. But it's only built on a foundation of understanding that both of them have an obligation to do so. So Yashay, in order to Yashay in order to answer this question, Yashay Ha'ora Zo Kosaf Hagoin. I do not know who this is. Hagoin Rashak.
Yeah, Shlomo
Kluger. Oh, I'm sorry. Shlomo Kluger, fine. Shavadai Habrocha Shodim Lachuiv Lavarich Koin Bruchas Hamitzos Chodoyim. So he comes and tells an amazing Yisoid. You can go your whole life without knowing this Yisoid. Okay, this is incredibly so. There's a chilek between the birchas hamitzvos and birchas hanenin. Shebirchas hamitzvos uchodoyme vaday hachiv la'anois omen. You must answer omen. Ulam, the birchas hanenin, eating food, kevon sin shezeh ein achiv rak rishus. No one's telling you you have to eat an apple for lunch. If you don't want an apple, so don't eat the apple. V'harech ha-mavorech ba'atzmoy im eina nene eina mavorech d'zlamek ha-brocha rak al ha-nosso yuhu mavorech v'harech ha-shemeya eina nene, the one that's listening is not deriving benefit u'mativo ila'ano yitzamein, and why then does he have an obligation to answer amen? U'bishloimoy im mavorech al ha-mitzvah, even though I already took lulav and esrog, you took it and I took it in the morning, and now someone else is making a brocha on lulav and esrog later in the day, al tilas lulav, I already was yoytze, he says it doesn't matter. Even though I already did a mitzvah, but I also have an obligation to fulfill such a mitzvah. I also have an obligation to fulfill a mitzvah. It could very well be that I've already done the mitzvah, but I'm still in the ballpark of having an obligation to do the mitzvah. Even though I may have had pleasure from this item at another point in time,
is that the same as a birchas hanenin because she's not chayav in the mitzvah?
Maybe you can make that argument. I don't know the answer, but possibly that's a very good argument. That women are not chayvim tzor mitzvah, but when it comes to a general rule of thumb, when a person makes a birchas hamitzvah, so you have an obligation to answer amen. And we need that. And we need that to be.
She wants to put on the veil.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, okay, you can debate the issue. That's a separate issue. We're not going there. That's an issue. Okay, I understand.
If you're allergic to grapefruit and someone makes a bracha on grapefruit, you're not allowed to answer on it.
Okay. What do you mean, Arvis?
Oh, you saw a raven there.
Not from there in Birchas Hanenin. Not Birchas Hanenin. There is Arvus in a limited sense. If you can't make the bracha, there's a halacha. You're not going to make the bracha Birchas Hanenin and not benefit. You can't make the bracha Shahak on the Emavuro for someone else. You also have to derive a degree of benefit. Okay, but let's just look at the general rule of this Yisoid. Mr. Wilson, you know this Yisoid?
Come on and make the bracha.
So maybe you're right.
We should answer, and we can't. So maybe you're right.
Birchos Kohanim. Maybe you are correct that there is no obligation in those types of mitzvahs where you don't have the mitzivanu. Kohanim have mitzivanu for Birchos Kohanim. Because we want the bracha. It's definitely.
Who says you have to answer to the
Asher Kibshalu?
But it seems to contradict this.
I don't know if there's a. Generally, when it comes to Birchos Kohanim, if they're giving you a bracha and you want the bracha, you don't have to come to shul. Don't take the bracha. If you want the bracha, you have to answer amen to the bracha. No, isn't that the way it goes? That's a different category of bracha. Let's just discuss basic halacha. A mitzvah of al netilas lulav versus the bracha of bari minei mezonos. Let's just take those two. The one person here is making a bracha al netilas lulav. I already took the lulav and esrog this morning. It's already 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the person over here is making a bracha bari minei mezonos. And I'm answering two amens. Do I have a chiv or a reshus? Rav Shlomo Kluger is saying, you saw it. On netilas lulav, you have a chiv. Because you're also nichlal and vitzivon. Al birchas hanenin, you're not having hana. He's not mechuyif to have hana. You're not having the hana. So therefore, you don't have to answer amen. You could answer amen. Halavai. You'll get credit in Shemayim. But it's not a chiyuv to answer amen. But when it says in the Gemara, Godol ha'oina amen yoysam in ha'mavarech, we can only apply that piece of Gemara to birchas hanitzvahs. Because if you're dealing with birchas hanenin, and there is no chiyuv, you don't have you can't even start off the equation. One is mitzvah v'yoyse, and one is ein mitzvah v'yoyse.
So,
birchas but birchas kadam is a different case. That's what he's asking. A different category of birchas hamitzvos, where it only applies to a specific segment, a limited segment of klal yisrael. So, for this individual, there's a mitzvah, and for this individual, there is no mitzvah. So, maybe you're right. Maybe you have to see or something would say in that case, and maybe in that case, in echlami, there would not be a chiyuv to answer amen either, unless you know birchas you Berachas Kehanim, they're coming to bless you. If you're not going to affirm that I hold of this mitzvah, so you're not going to get the bracha. Maybe that's not a good example. The example you gave with tzum might be a better example. If you hold that tzum is mitzvah shehazman grama, anashma potter, but you know, even though the potter is also not a rabbi, because the potter doesn't mean they can't do it. Okay, we don't do it. We don't do bizman azeh. Okay, not going into in the politics. Okay, but you talk about a mitzvah that they're potter from, maybe you're right. Maybe that's a different category.
That's
different. If they're coming to me, might see you. Then yes, you're mechuyev.
So somebody makes a bracha on an apple for me.
To you.
You have to get
something. Yes, because then that's your bracha. That's not just his bracha. If he's making the bracha for you, it's your bracha. Of course you have to end something in that case. We're dealing with a situation where you're not eating. I'm in a room and someone is making a bracha named Zomas. I am not going to eat. I'm fasting today. And he's making the bracha. I'm allergic to an apples. I'm allergic to peanuts.
What's that mean? When you say amen, you're saying, yes, I agree that Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam is the one who's borei me.
Are you obligated? Are you obligated to go through the effort of say amen? Rav Shlomo says you're not obligated. It's a wonderful thing to do, and you'll teach and chas v'shalom for anyone not to do it, but you have an obligation. Maybe there would be an afkamina. Maybe we can suggest there could be an afkamina in the spell. Maybe we can suggest there be an afkamina in the middle of davening. There are certain parts of davening where there's a question, do you answer amen, do you not? Now, dirshu, that's the sugya now, the Mishnah Berurah dirshu is also the sugya of Minafsi, doing sugya of the Zimra, Berachas Kriya Shema, and it's a very complicated sugya. You open up the back of some of these siddur, they have these charts, they go dizzy. When? So a lot of these things depend. Tfilin and talis, baruchu, the kaddish, you get dizzy.
Another reason maybe not.
Oh, so there, so when you, so maybe in that situation, where it's only a reshus, it would tell. Of course not. No one's coming to deny that you're going to tell a child that when someone, this is the halacha, you don't teach children, right? You're not going to go tell a child when someone makes a learn his own, so you don't have to answer reshus. It's your prerogative. You make a decision. No one's going to teach that. But we want to know the ikur halacha. What is the ikur halacha? This is a yisod. Will you find an afkaminas la halacha? Perhaps. But it's a nice yisod to know. And it's all built upon the premise of what the Gemara says. That only can be built upon a foundation where they are both in the league of mitzuvah the oisa. And mitzuvah oisa, we're coming out now, is only when it's birchas ha-mitzvahs. Yeah?
Now there's a second link.
No, you're not davening. No, that the Poskim talk about that. You're not part of that minion. If you, you're not mechuyev, definitely not. If you're in a shul where there's a minion factory and they're davening, you're sitting back and you're learning, you're not mechuyev to answer. You're not. You're not part. Even for Kedusha, Me'ikar Hadin Yinam Mechuv. It might look a little strange, everyone is saying Kedusha, so you'll stand up for Kedusha. But Yinam Mechuv to answer the entire Chazar Sashats, all the Amens. You do what you're doing. You're not part of this minion. I davened already. I'm not part of this minion. Yinam Mechuv to go to the answer Amen. Of course you have a Shus. They say Kaddish. The person comes, person is Techu Beis Chodesh, and he's saying Kaddish. And he can already daven Mincha Ma'arif, whatever, Shachas. And he comes to Shul, and they're saying Kaddish. Are you Mechuv? Should you? So I ask the Poskim say, if you, whatever you want to do, if you want to say another Kaddish with everyone else, say. If you don't want to say, don't say. It's your decision, but you have no obligation to do so. Yes?
You may have said, if somebody pinched Luruf, the Tzubu Ve'oiz, and somebody had touched later, do you have to answer?
Yes, that's what it says. Even though you already did it. That's exactly because you're part of the category of Vitzivonu. Hashem has commanded me to do this mitzvah. Even though I did it already, I'm still commanded to do it. I've done it, I fulfilled the command, but I'm still in the category of that group of people who are commanded to do so. Rav Shlomo Kluger says this. This is a chiddush. Okay, let's go to the next side. Next, Anias Amen b'cheshbon hamea brachos. Can we count the amens towards the 100 brachos we make every single day? B'shut halabit kosaf reis b'dei aliyah. I've seen choshev people b'nei aliyah. Va'anshei ma'isa v'chochma. Zihirin b'mitzvos v'mili li'ovos ud b'rochos. V'reitzen, and it comes many times, it's not so, if you make a calculation, it's not so easy to come to conclude a day with 100 brachos. If you're really into this, you got to be very careful. You want to conclude 100 brachos before sunrise. Okay, hamapil. Well, that's also part of the count. When does the bracha start? Does the bracha start with hamapil? Is that the first bracha, or does it start in the morning? Okay, that's a debate. There are many calculations of how of the Mishnah Berurah has a calculation, the Kitter has a calculation, all the places have different calculations. Are fine, whatever. You want to be the guardians of the faith, which is a remez for to guard Amen. The Gadol Ha'oine, we just concluded the sugya. The Gadol Ha'oine, Amen Yosef and Amavarich. The Zedarko Mechol Yom Leiskabit, Bashmer Sabaka Echod, Acher, as Acher Habakoshois, Vahat Fatachinois, Leloikim, Levarich Echod Mehem Birchas Hanisu, they did in the morning. In the morning, I guess before davening, they took turns saying Brachos. Some people still do this. One, but over here it's very interesting. He does not say they said all of the brachas. Maybe there was too much tzuchah d'tzibura. They only said the first few. They said birchas hanasi lasech vivina upakeach evrim v'zokif kefufim umatir ad shloya san isha. That's it. They didn't go through all the other brachas.
All the words of the mabit.
The Mabit says this. He saw people do this, and in the morning after that, before davening, people would take turns saying bracha, so everyone else in the room can answer amen. The oinim kulam amen. You know, we used to do this. Rabbi Kevel said he was nifter about it 2 years ago. So he was very into this. He would come in the morning. His name was Rabbi Kevelson. The mikveh is named after his parents. The mikveh next door, right? Nat Kevelson. So his son was Steve. Rabbi Steve Kevelson. So he would daven in the Yom Yisrael Avenue J. Shachris, and he was very into this. He would come in very early, and there was a chevra, and they would all say brachos to each other, and everyone would answer amen. It's a beautiful thing. The question over here is, he talks about, is lechiv to do such a thing? The achar kachoyzer acher, mevarech oisem, ve'oinem kulam, amen, v'chein kulam. Oil ulam. So this way, the Ma'abit records there was such a custom. What is very interesting about the way he records the custom is they only said the brachas until shaloi osani isha. They did not say all of the brachas. So yeah, the order is a little bit different. He called zohi uvum. Ach, you have to see exactly. You're getting omens. You're adding up more omens. You have insurance for the day, just in case you miss a couple of omens later in the day, fasting, or you don't go to the Beis Akis. Say or whatever it is, because it's very tight. It's the 100 omens are very, very tight. You miss one part of your day, you don't bench. Part of the omens, you have to eat twice a day, bread meals twice a day, and recite birchas hamazon, and you get 8 omens. Not everyone washes twice a day. So if you just have a shahako twice a day, you're gonna make a bari nefasha. It's doctor's orders, no bread. So you're gonna have an alamichi, you're down by 3, down by 6. What are you gonna have? How many times do you eat? Well, some people, they eat the whole day. They keep on snacking. So they have multiple brachas. One bracha the whole day, so then you're really in trouble. It is a bracha, but it's only one. If you bench, you have 3, you have 4, alamichya, and it's very tight. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, make the calculation. You're getting yourself into a very tight situation. So he says over here, Ulam Hamabit Kosav She'enu Roy Lochem Laso Iskin. He holds that this is not proper. Kevin Sin She'enam Yoitzin Bibir. Now, I guess what he means over here is if your kavana is, it's a very nice thing to do. No one's denying that it's a very nice thing to do. But it just means if you want to go do this in order to use these omens as your 100 barachas, you're getting carried away. When the Gemara says, Gadol Ha'oina Omen Yosef Mavarach, does not need to be taken to the extreme, it's going to be used towards your 100 barachas. Kevan She'enam Yoitzin Bibirchas She'chave. You do not, it does not count towards the 100 brachas. That's only when the bracha is being made in order to fulfill your obligation. The bracha is being made to be made to you, and you're answering amen to fulfill the obligation. So in the process, what he says over here is a chiddush loira. This that the Gemara says, Gadol Ha'oina Omen Yosef Manamin HaMavarech, is only in a situation where someone is being moitzei you, your obligation. Megillas Esther. The Baal Kori makes three brachos, and the Tzibur answers Amen. Who gets more credit for those three brachos? He's being Moitzi the Rabbin, according to what he just said, according to the Gemara, according to one opinion in the Gemara, the Tzibur. They're the ones who get more credits. Kedai not to lay in the Megillah, because if you're the one that doesn't lay in the Megillah, you're going to get more credit for the three brachos. The one that lays the Megillah, he's sacrificing. He's going al Kiddush Hashem. He's sacrificing himself. He's not going to get the zechus, at least according to what we're in the Gemara. All right. So another new yesod in this concept is that choyva or shemeklogo only brachas hamitzvos, even when you're going to gadol ha'oina, only when you're being yoytze with the person's recital of the bracha.
When the person makes a bracha, he says one shame, not Hashem. When the person says Amen, the gematria of Amen is 91, and that's the same gematria as Adli and Yud Kei Vov Kei
and Adnos is 91. So
it's twice as big as...
Twice as much. Double Baruch Atah Hashem. It's only Yud Kei Vov. Very nice. Yeah. No, doesn't count. The symbol calculation of the 100 brachos does not include answering Amen in Chazaras Hashatz. It only includes your own brachos in the Shemona Esrei, the 19 brachos three times a day. B'di'evit, when you cannot come up with enough brachos, then we use the on Shabbos laning. When you get an aliyah, when the seven oilen, they get their aliyos, when you answer Amen to their brachos, they are being made to you your obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. So then those Amens b'di'evit can count towards the 100 brachos. 14, because those Amens are exactly what's in line, what the Mabit says. Because you have an obligation to be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah, and the people who are getting the Aliyos are being Yotze you with that section of the laning. So then we can count those Amens b'di'evit.
Does the Shliach
Tzibur
himself get the
Shkar? The Shliach Tzibur, does he get, if you do davening for the Omer on that day, so can you use those Brochois L'chora? Yeah. I'm assuming the answer is yes. I don't know for sure, but it would seem so. You're making the brachas, right?
This
so.
Is only according to
Rav Shlomo Kluger, I think. Okay, nothing we learn in this. Nothing we learn here is halacha l'maisa. Everything we all know, that a lot of these things are all very just entertaining. Yedias. Yedias, learn this, and some of it's yedias. Enochanami.
Enumerates all 100 brachas?
Yeah,
the Mishnah. It was a Paris problem.
No, in the beginning of Mishnah. I don't remember where. Towards the beginning. Okay, let's now go to the next page. The next page is the beginning of Masechta Soita. Before we go, I just want to tell you one Dvar Agada. One Dvar Agada on this concept of Gadol Ha'oina Amen Yoyser Min Hamavar. Why would it be greater to answer Amen Yoyser Min Hamavar? So you gave a Gematria, a very nice Gematria, 91. 91 is the combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Agnus. But there's another popular idea. When Amen is Rosh HaTevos, Kel Melech Neman. When a person makes a bracha, you express two themes. The theme of Hashem's name, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokeinu, that's Hashem Hashem. And then you express the theme of Malchus, Melech HaOlam. But when you make a bracha, you do not make any mention of the fact that Hashem is Neman. Hashem is faithful. That is not expressed. But when you answer Amen, you say Kel, Hashem's name, Melech, Malchus, Neman. So answering Amen includes a third ingredient that is not present in the bracha. Godol oyna Amen yoyser min hamavarech. Okay, let's now go to Masechta Soita. Imutu lebal loymar leishtoi al tikon si lebeis plani. Now this is a very dangerous sugya. A man in today's day and age should never, if a man suspects his wife is unfaithful, even if she's not, it's just a matter of speech.
Yes.
You have someone that you don't like. You don't like one of your relatives. You don't like, and the husband says to his wife, "I'm warning you, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him, or don't go into the room with him." And she disobeys, and there are witnesses that observe. It can be a major, major problem. It's a very complicated sugya.
Witnesses to the Hatzara?
The witnesses, that's all part of the dilemma.
When he told her, don't go, were there witnesses to the...
It depends. There are many scenarios. One witness, that's the first two daf. The first two daf from Masechta Sot is one name, Ba, the Stira, the Kinui. It's a nightmare. Whatever the situation is, the law is fine to cool. The place can always somehow work backwards to find the leniency.
No, that's never witnessed Shas Maisa.
Well, that's the question. So this is a sugi where I don't remember all the details. I just read the word very quickly, but it's a very complicated sugya. And basically, to play it safe, a man should never say to his wife, "Do not have yichud with so-and-so." By doing so, you're setting her up for trouble. You're setting yourself up for trouble. Because if she does go into the room with someone and there are witnesses, and the witness is heard, then it could be that al pi halacha, the nitma has been triggered. The nitma means that she is suspect, and she's not allowed to return to her husband until she drinks from the mei sota. And bizman hazeh, that's not going to happen. We don't have the mei sota, so she remains in limbo in a state of the nitma, which means she has to be divorced, and she loses her ksuba. It's not just for him. She also, if she violates his warning, she can lose her ksuba, because she only will get her ksuba back if she proves her innocence by drinking from the mei sota. So therefore, he discusses, just to touch a little bit upon some of these issues. B'shut harosh, kosaf, she'el, here was the following question. Ruven ish shpiel isha. He made his wife take a shpiel. And this is one example. There are many examples. There are many horror stories like this. He's just focusing on one little example. Ruven ish shpiel isha shvuas ha'toira b'nikidas chepes. He says, "Wife, come here, pick up the Sefer Torah." She wasn't a nida, obviously, because he can't take a sefer. Any chayfitz, whatever it is, minikidas chayfitz, take a dvar mitzvah, take hold my tefillin, shaloi tedaber leploni uploni. I don't want you to talk to so and so. I hate these people. I hate them. They're my enemies. Don't talk to them. Velo tikoni simon mebayis echot, and don't enter into a room with them. The kibla shivu also, she accepted the oath. She said, "I swear, I'm not going to do it." Bifnei edim, there were witnesses. Lazman kotzov. Maybe this was only for a year, for 1 year, for 2 years, 3 years, whatever the period of time was. And then im avra shum al davar mishuazo, al shum davar mishuazo. She violated her oath. She spoke to them. She entered into the room. Hefsida kisubas olo. So the specific question posed to the Rosh was, the woman, she had yichud, whatever it was. Okay, she had yichud, fine, she had yichud, whatever it was. So maybe, whatever the situation was, she swore she's not going to go into a room with so-and-so. She did not fulfill her shvur. She entered into the room with this person. The question was posed to the Rosh, "I'm now going to divorce my wife. Do I have to pay out her ksuba?" Ksuba today, modern day, can be $50,000. Depends who you ask. Depends how you make the calculation. It can be $50,000. It's a lot of money. Does a man have to pay a ksuba in this situation where she took a shvua not to do something and she violated his oath? The Hishav. So the Rosh answers. Im nichnasa im echad mehem o im shneim lebeis haseser v'shasa kdei tuma al pi edim asur labal. First of all, I don't know if the person even realizes, and I don't know, not clear exactly what you mean, you've asked me. You're dealing with a soita problem. You really posed the question about a shavua. But the Rosh said back, "You know, you have a much bigger problem on your hands. The fact that she entered into a room b'yichud when there were witnesses, al pi edim asur labala, she is a sota. She's not allowed to. You're not allowed to live with her until you give her a divorce. You may not live together in the same house." V'teit say, and number two, b'shaloi b'ksuba. Kevin sin shekina, you warned her, v'nistera, and she had yichud. You told her not to enter a room with so-and-so. You specified their names, and she violated the warning. She had yichud and there are witnesses. All of the ingredients that are needed for this recipe of disaster are present, and you have to get divorced, and there can be no ksuba. Asur labala ad she tishtet until she drinks from the nes soto, the zo, and this particular woman she nistra bezman hazeh in today's day and age she ain nes soto nitno etzba bein shinecho. She put her finger between her teeth as an expression, which means she nistra bezman she ain yechol l'shto, she can't drink. V'teit say shaloi b'ksuba, she lost her ksuba. V'dafka, he points out that this only is true where there are witnesses that saw her enter the room with so-and-so, sheyesh edim shenistera, aval inistera ba'edach, but let's say there was only one witness, so here right away is a very important leniency b'zman hazeh, because this can happen, ba'edach, ein asur, she can come back home, there is no problem, aval im loy nichnasa, yeah?
You need two sets of witnesses.
No, not two sets.
To warn her? Okay. Two witnesses.
Not necessarily. That's the machlokes in the Gemara. Machlokes in the Gemara says that to warn her, you do not need witnesses. To warn her, you can warn her between you and yourself. You don't need. Only for the actual seclusion must there be witnesses. Then the Gemara is just the opposite. Maybe to warn her, you need witnesses, but to the going into that, you don't need. But let's say the Rosh seems to follow the opinion that to warn her, you do not need witnesses, but if she enters into the room with an individual, for that, you do need witnesses. Those conditions have been fulfilled in this particular case, and therefore he told this man, you have to divorce your wife, and she does not, is not entitled to her ksuba. No, video is not a witness. Video is not halachically valid. Video is good for dinim amonos. Video is good for dinim. Today, video, the technology...
Show that there was no beer.
You want to say video look cooler. You want to say that there was a video. A video could be that that's true. When you say it could be that might be valid. I don't know the answer. That's a very complicated question. To be matter. But a video to aser would not be enough. A video is good for dinim. Video is not halachically accepted for dinei isur, even though it's clear that for, as far as we're concerned, it's dinei mimoinois. Dinei isur. For the isur, we don't paskin on video, even though it's clear as day what happened. For video, dinei isur v'heter, video is not accepted in halacha. However, if I'm not mistaken, it might be a sniff to the matir. In other words, if a man warns his wife, do not enter the room with so-and-so. And she enters the room with two witnesses, watch her have yichud. But in the room itself, there is a video camera. There is a video. And the video has shown that nothing has happened. That lakula, to use the video to the matir, that she's not called a sota, is a very big question. If I'm not mistaken, it could be, it's like there's a person inside. It's not called the yichud. Video also, but if the girls say there was a video that saw her enter the room, we don't know what happened in the room. Instead of two witnesses testifying that she entered the room, but we have a video that saw him and her, that, even though the video is foolproof, okay, no photoshopping on the video, it doesn't matter, she's a mutter. Video is not, when it comes to dinim mimonos, we saw Reuven steal, rob a bank, and we have it on video, in Beis Din, chayif. The video in dinim mimonos is more than enough.
Rashi's agency
uses
video.
Yeah. Yeah. So video, it's a mirsos. You don't need. There's no din in kashrus. You have to have an aid roya. You have to establish mirsos. That's a whole different thing. Mirsos. You have a video. You have mirsos. You don't need to have. There's no din kiddushin. You have to have witnesses. You can't have video. When mechabed a rosh yeshiva in Australia and a rosh yeshiva in Alaska. From one end of the world, they're going to be the witnesses for the Kedushin. Where are they? They're watching it online. Right? We're going to take out an iPhone and we're going to stream live and have two witnesses. It's nonsense. You have to have...
The wedding 2 weeks ago where they were having one of the brachas to a guy in Eretz Yisrael, and they said instead of him, someone else is...
Instead of representing him. Okay. I thought you were going to say that he was going to do it online. He was going to call in on the phone.
Can be done online.
No.
Why not?
No. I mean, shlichos.
So you're discussing
a get. This is a common shayla. This is a very common shayla. We have, I saw it actually, I think in the RCA, in the RJJ journal, there's an article about doing a get through video conferencing. Many times You know, writing a get can only be done in certain cities. Writing a get has to be done near a river. There's a very complicated halacha in a get. You have to write the get near a river. And today, in the modern world, it's very complicated to define what is a river. Number one, what is a river? And what is the closest river? So in New York, of Moshe Feinstein, if I recall her, other gedolim, they have established how to write a get. But once you go out of town, and Yerushalayim is like, this is the Shiloyach, that goes back from 1,000 years. So, believe it or not, you can't have a get, there are only a limited number of places where a get can be given. You can't give a get all over cross-country. Certainly, there are many communities all over the country, if Rachman Litzlan, a get needs to be given, they very often have to come into New York. Or they have to come into a city that has been established by a very big gadol who knows the inyanim clear, how to spell the city, how to spell the river. It's not like a ksuba. A ksuba, you make a spelling mistake, it's not the end of the world. I mean, they try very hard. They change aleph and hays and yuz. But when it comes to a get, it's very machma. So you have to know, how do you spell New York in a get? It's not the machloik. It's spelled with an aleph. It's very the machloik. How do you spell in a get? New York, and not so simple. What's the closest river? And so it's, and how do you spell all of these titles? It's not simple. So there are certain places that have been established. So out in most of the country, it's not been established, and Rabbanim are not professionals in this matter. They're not willing to get involved, and there needs to be a get, so the couple has to go to the closest center where it's been established. So what happens many times? They can't. They can't. They're busy, or let's say a Naguna Shaila, and the husband is willing to give a get, chaperein, willing to give a get, don't, you know, and so if we can't convince them to go, can we do it over the telephone? Can we do it through a video conferencing? So all you need is minu shlichus. You don't have to have a imamish give the get. You can have make a shliach. So these are very complicated shaylos. So maybe one day we'll discuss all the issues of what the place can say about these type of questions. What? Okay. So you can get him to come.
Coming to give him.
If you can get him to come. Okay, let's go further.
Okay.
The heishiv. Okay, so now he goes. So.
Triangle K.
Let's go for the third paragraph. But there was a conversation in Lechem. Let's say the woman did not enter into a secluded area, but there was a conversation. There are witnesses. There are witnesses that she's speaking to so and so, one of the two people, in Asura. She's not Asura. Umiyu. She is violating Jewish law. If she may took a shavua that she will not speak to someone, and she violates that oath, so she's not a soiter. No one's going to call her a soiter, which means that he can still live with her. That's the main nafkamina. He can still live with her. But being that she did violate the shavua, she is a sinner. And since then, there he is entitled to divorce her, and she loses the ksuba, because that was part of the deal. The only point over here is that she's not a halachic sota, and the only nafkamina here would be that until he divorces her, there's no prohibition for him to live with her. Next, midivrei harosh hanal, from the words of the rosh we have just read, mevor, it's clear. She'af imbal omar lo lo tikone simon bebayis echod harei ze loshim kine v'neseres im nistera achakach. Telling a woman, right, don't enter into a room with so and so. That is called an expression of a kinui, and that makes her into a sota, which means they can no longer live together. Omna. This expression is a little bit different. He doesn't tell her, don't enter into a room with so and so. He says, don't let him come into the house. It's a different type of, it's the same thing, right? Don't have yichot. I'm going on business. I'm going away on business. I know this guy comes around. Don't let him come into the house. Is that, how would you interpret that? Is that an expression, I'm warning you, I suspect that there's something not right between you and him? Or it's just an expression, don't let him come into the house. So the Chassam Sofer says, Shabal Shamal Yishol Shlot Anich La'orel, this Orel is a goy, this is an, I mean, he's called an Orel Lichnais L'Sech Peso, Ein Mamish Bekino Yizeh, that is not an expression that qualifies for the...
Guy, or do we just refer to the guy?
I don't know the answer. There's another question, if Saito applies to a guy, I think that's in the Gemara. A Saito, if you warn a woman not to have yichud with a guy, that also can be. I think one opinion says also called a Saito. I don't remember. But he used this is not the came and said Shalai Amala al tistri im harol hazeh. Since he did not say the word tistri, you see the key word according to the parish of the Chassam Sofer is you have to use the word tistri. Stira.
Well,
tikkanes, that could be, no, but that could be the word tikkanes, could be not, it's not enough, even if you use the word don't tikkanes, we'll sew into a room. So before was a little bit different, so that's going to be the issue he's going to discuss now over here. But the ideal, word is the word stira. Or some variation of the word stira, the shayrish of stira. That's the key word. Tikkansi, entrance, here it gets dangerous. It depends on how you phrase it. But the Chassam Sofer certainly is saying one thing is certain, if you say don't come into my house, that's not so terrible. Altistri im ha'orel zeh. El omelo shlo taniach hi shishunan alau ha'orel lichnois l'soich beisoy shemilosh zeh mashma shehizhiru afilu shlo b'mokam seser. That word tikonsi means even if you're not alone. Even if the children are here. We have you making a party. Having a suda, you have 20 guests, don't let him in the house. So since you said don't let him into the house, that word does not mean don't have yichud. It's even more expansive. Don't let him step foot in the house, even if you have in the house 20 people with you. I don't want him to come into my house. So that is not a word which we use for the laws of sota. The word stira means just you and him alone. Afilu shloim b'makom seisim chamoy al tadari im yishploini sheim amar kain afilu nis, if you tell a woman do not speak, that's nothing. Afilu nistra imo buteres vein oishim al hayichot b'divrei hachasam sofer b'vur shaloshin al tachnisi ho ish lebeis ho lo hamiloshin stira. But okay, so we don't know here. You saw the Chassam Sofer holds word tikkansi. He seems to want to suggest that the word alone, no matter how you use it, he's the one who's writing this. Again, nothing over here is accurate. This is just computer generated. But what it just means is the Rosh, the case of the Rosh was the word said v'lo tikkones imahem bebayis echad. The word there was tikkones. He wants to suggest the key word is tikkones. The word hastara was not used. And yet the Rosh paskin clear as day, she is a soita. The Chassam Sofer, how can the Chassam Sofer argue on a Rosh? I don't know. But the Chassam Sofer is saying that the word tikkonsi is not the word. The word the Torah uses for a soita, so there is no problem. Obviously, there's another major difference. The way it's been used in the case of the Rosh has more of a flavor of yichud. Don't go in with that person, babayis echad. Even though you never said the word hastara, don't enter into this person's house in one bayis. That it has the flavor of stira. Whereas this case, don't let him come into my house. A little bit different. Ubisefer avnei ho'efoid beer. Shein kushya midivrei harosh al divrei chassam. As I said, there's no stira between the two. Hayoy sharosh don rakisham Allah lo tikones imahem babayis echad. Those words change the equation. Shekevan sin shama babayis echod in one bayis, it upgrades the word tikkonsi into the equivalent of the word hastara. Have ze loshem yichud. Ulchein have ze kinui. Ah, hachasam sofer don beoifen shama lo alti tachnisi ish lebeischa. Don't come into my house. Sheze einoi loshem stira. Uvichneses hagedoyla. Do not tekabli, another expression, except who gam loshon stira. Hayyodov Shel Moshe. You know who know that is? I never heard of the Sefer. Shem Omar Allah Al Yikones Ploni Libe Seinu Hare Zekinu. Look at so everyone is playing, everyone has different opinions on this matter. With Sefer Bnei Vinyamin Kosov Shafilu Imam Allah, he's Hazhiri Miploni. Watch out from this person, from this fellow, that's also valid. Hare Zekinu. Umar Sham Hichmir Gam Bechahagavna Mikrikinu. Ubavni Nezer Kosov Shimam Allah Pshaploni Lo Yolin. To sleep, loy have a loshen kinoy. Or Mesh of Dava Kasav Shemamala Shloite Hebe Bais Ploni, Doshe Yishnat B. Also, Enoi Stira, Klaus Shoy Bebesoi, Bebesoi, Isht Bebesoi, Ishtoi Mishamartoi, Vichain Shloitisa Imoi Baderech, Lutisa also, Bederech Mashma Fil Biom Shenich Shashlos, those Klaal Bederech Bemokam Oivim Vishavim, El Choystom Ludvar Pritzus, Ein Ze Kinoi Klaal. Vodain Beshilchasam Sofer, Shistapik Boyfin Shamalo Habal, Loitis Yachadi, Yichud Employni, Ibzelos Shon Stiro, Vyoda Yichud Bavur, Shaloshin Ze, that's a little bit worse. Vyoda Yichud Bavur, Shaloshin Ze, Loshin, that's certainly Loshin Kinoi. So the bottom line over here is, we have over here a very complicated halacha, a very serious halacha of warning in Isha, of Sota, and there are many different words, possible expressions one can use. The ideal expression, the expression which is 100% is Lashon of Hastara, but then there are other expressions. Tikon si, don't come into Bayis Echad, Tisiachadi, there is Lo Teheimo, Lo Yolanimo, do not travel with him. There are many other various expressions which are all questionable. There are Chiluke Deos among the Gedolei Achrayim, and the bottom line is, we're going to learn, like we're going to come across this again, I think later on, he has more topics about this, Lech Lamaisa, a person should never ever warn his wife to distance himself from someone, a particular person, in any expression whatsoever, because he potentially can be setting himself up for a nightmare. Because in the event that she does enter into a room alone with that person that he warned her not to be alone with, in any expression, and there happened to be two witnesses that were standing and watching when this thing occurred, and so then it's going to be a major nightmare. You're going to have to have a major nightmare to figure out why it's not a problem. And you'll say, well, the first thing you'll say is, well, did the husband, when he got angry and he warned his wife, did he say the word, do not have hastara? And you'll say, no, I said something in English. Yes. I said something else in Hebrew. And then we've just gone through these few paragraphs. There's much debate among the poskim. Do we actually take the word literally, or do we look at the big picture and try to interpret what his intent was? And if we interpret what the intent was, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But if we just take the word literally, then the only word that is really a problem is the word of yichud or a word of hastar. Okay, tomorrow a very interesting topic. The next topic over here is marrying a girl who's older than you. So it's a very fascinating discussion. So that's tomorrow. Of course it's mutter, and not only is it mutter, it seems to say here that this was the ideal in ancient times. This that we have changed today, where we marry people who are younger. So that's tomorrow.